Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Yes, you are now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be sharing with us an inspirational poem, as he always do. And then he's going to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. So you're most definitely going to need your Bibles, pens, and paper to follow along. Again, our guest tonight is once again Deacon Marvin Cox. We will be opening up the phone lines shortly. So after he has concluded with the message, anyone that would like to share words of encouragement with him, or if you have any questions for him regarding tonight's message, you will have a chance to do so after he has concluded with the message on tonight. But we do open up with prayer, and I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me. We are lifting up our people, our sisters and brothers, and the president of Ukraine on tonight in a special way, because we know God is the only one that can turn the hearts of a mind of a person that has evil intent in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirits, in their souls. So we know that God is able. No matter what it looks like right now, God is still in control. So we want to lift up our sisters and brothers and the president of Ukraine in our prayers as a special prayer on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children. We come to you once again knowing and realizing that you are God and you are God all by yourself. We bless your name because you're worthy of our praise, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you're still worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up our sisters and brothers over in Ukraine. We lift up the president of Ukraine. You know their situation. You know what they're going through. We know that you sit high and you look low, and you shall have and hold all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. And we know that you can just speak one word, Heavenly Father, and turn this whole situation around. This is an unnecessary, uncalled for war on behalf of President Putin. So we know that you are able to change the hearts and turn the hearts of a king. So you're able to do the same thing through President Putin and any other world leader that has false motives and hidden agendas that are tyrants in the earth. We know that you're able to turn their hearts. So even if you don't turn their hearts, we know that you're able to step into the situation and change it. Heavenly Father, that even our sisters and brothers that have lost loved ones, they can still continue to look unto the hills from which cometh their help, not only for the people of Ukraine that have lost loved ones, but all those all over the land that have lost loved ones for whatever reason. Continue to touch their hearts and let them feel your peace, your joy, your presence, your strength, even as they go through the hour of bereavement in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in Jesus' name. We continue to lift up our sisters and brothers that are incarcerated behind prison bars all over the land. And we thank you again, Heavenly Father, that you have opened the doors for this worldwide ministry and other ministries that I share with the prisoners all over the United States. We don't take it lightly or for granted. We thank you that you have opened the doors, that they are now able to receive and hear your word and have a chance to be saved in Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, Heavenly Father, that still works. We thank you that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is not in vain. And we thank you for being a promise keeper. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We pray now, Lord, and ask that you would have your way. Touch the hearts and minds of those that are listening in on tonight, whether it's by phone or through social media, however they are hearing this word on tonight. Should there be anyone that's not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight. They will touch their hearts, that they will hear your word, and they will receive it. They will confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. If you alone will get the glory, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us, individually and then as a corporate body of believers. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry platform, and even to the new listeners on tonight. Bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, we do have another scripture food for thought. And it comes to us saying, we all can learn a lesson from the weather. Pay no attention to criticism. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought. We all can learn a lesson from the weather. Pay no attention to criticism. I do not have any special announcements for tonight. So we're going to get ready to go to our music break. And I'm going to play this song again because this song that I'm playing, again, the word of the Lord said, the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. And we know that's to be very true for those that are of us that are true believers in Jesus Christ and know how our Heavenly Father works through prayer and through our faith. We're going to pray once again on tonight. And this musical selection is specially dedicated to the president of Ukraine and to our sisters and brothers in Ukraine because of what they're going through. We want them to be able to hear and feel our prayers that we are praying on their behalf. And even through this musical selection that somehow, some way, we never know how God works. So we just pray that even those that are in Ukraine, that they are able to hear this worldwide platform, that if someone were hear this musical selection and know that we are praying for them, not only in the natural, but in the spirit, but we are praying for them even through this musical selection on tonight. Pray for me. So enjoy the music break, and following the music break, we're going to come back and yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox He's going to share another inspirational poem, as he always does, and then he's going to go directly into God's word. But before we do that, I want the listeners to know, and especially the new listeners, to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com, or on Facebook. Please pay close attention and make notice that I do not own the copyrights to any music or any songs that's played over this worldwide ministry platform. So we're going to go to our music break right now. Pray for me. And we ask all listeners to continue to lift up our sisters and brothers over in Ukraine.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.
Yes, Lord, pray for me. You know, this situation that's going on right now over in Ukraine, we got to keep praying because there could be us. So don't take this lightly or for granted. We know that the enemy is still seeking and roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour, and he don't care who he used to complete his mission in the earth to destroy mankind, especially for those that are still not saved in Jesus' name. That's his goal, is to never let them or allow them to be saved in Jesus' name. So that's why it's so important that we continue to pray ye one for another. And then all those that are in distress, like our sisters and brothers over in Ukraine and our brothers and sisters over in Israel and Jerusalem, that we are to continually lift them up in prayer and as well as each other. I want to give a great shout-out to my new pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and my church family, Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, which is located in Harper Woods, Michigan. I want to give a shout-out to them as well. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. The phone lines are now open. So after he has concluded with the message, you will have an opportunity to ask questions from him regarding the message, or you can give him words of encouragement. Right now, Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Brother Brown, you said that you had a special announcement to make. Did you make that announcement yet?
Excuse me?
I said you said that you had a special announcement to make, and I didn't want to make sure that you get the announcement out.
No, I'm going to do that. I changed it. I'm going to do that later. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank the Lord for this opportunity once again to bring forth his word. We're living in perilous times, and I'm just glad that I got in the way, that he's using me as a vessel to bring forth his word. And I just pray that I'm worthy enough to bring forth his word. We have a somber word tonight. It's not a word that's going to make you jump up and click your heels, but it's a word that's going to cause you to concentrate on some things, and hopefully it will penetrate your heart and we can all do better than what we've been doing. Now, the poem that the Lord gave me tonight is called Can You Imagine? Can you imagine how Jesus might feel when we bear false witness against our neighbors and we lie, cheat, and steal? When we have the nerve to covet our neighbor's wife, then turn around and take someone's life and do all the things he told us not to do. Tell me, my friend, would that grieve you? When he constantly warns you of the danger to come, but you embrace the danger instead of running away from. If because of your sin you cause innocent people to die, it takes a lot to make Jesus cry. Amen. We're now going to go directly into the word. I know it's a little bit shorter than the majority of the poems that the Lord has given me, but that's also a food for thought, which will coincide with tonight's lesson. Now, tonight's lesson, I'll be reading to you from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 41 through 44, from the King James Version of the Bible, and it reads, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy city, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." I've just read unto you from the gospel recorded by St. Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 41 through 44. And tonight's lesson is of a personal nature, not only to myself, but to all the listeners. And I have news for you. And this might not necessarily be good news, but if this occurrence had not happened, oh, what would we be? Now, our message for tonight is Jesus wept.
Excuse me, Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox. I know you didn't mean it, but I know. I just wanted you to realize that you was reading from verses 41 through 44, but you missed verse 43. Could you go back and read verse number 43? You missed that one.
Okay, well, you know what? It's disappeared. Could you read that for me, sir? Do you have your Bible
there?
Yes,
I will.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It says, okay, that's all right. Verse number 43 of St. Luke chapter 19, verse 43,
yes.
Out of the King James Version, it says, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side." And then again, back to verse 44 says, "And shall lie thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation."
Okay, well, thank you for that, brother. Brother Brown, I must have dropped a page or something, but you know, the Lord gave me some adequate backup with you. I'm glad that you're in the foxhole with me, my brother.
Amen.
Okay. So tonight's lesson is Jesus wept for me. And I'm going to personalize it also and say that Jesus wept for you also. Okay. Now, this was a time when Jesus came into his hometown of Jerusalem, and he seen the things that were going on, and the city was not recognizable because of all the sin that was going on. And before he even got there, it says that he wept. Now, I'm normally giving you good comparisons as to so that we could relate to what was going on, because a lot of times the Bible has been read, and because it was not broke down to us, we don't have no concept of what was going on. We cannot identify some of us, the patriarchs in the Bible, we cannot identify with them, because we say that I could not have done what Job did. I could not have been patient. I could not have been as bold as Samson was. I could not have did this, or I could not have done that. But the truth is, yes, you could. I could not have held up like Job did. But the answer to all those questions is just that you have, and that you can. Why? Because there are no limitations upon the love that is in Jesus' heart. But he looked upon Jerusalem because he was turning his temple into a den of thieves. They had things that was going on, and it's just like in life how we sometimes see things, or maybe you might even go to your old neighborhood, and that's where Jesus was going. He was going to his birthplace, and you may have fond and wonderful memories of that place. But then you see so many abandoned houses and burnt up houses and empty lots, or whatever the situation might be. Or you might see an apartment complex just where your house used to stand. And whether we know it or not, these are the things that bring tears to our eyes. Or you may see a relative, or you may go to the hospital and see a relative that is low sick, and automatically you remember them as being strong and vibrant and able to move around. So instantly your demeanor changed and you began to weep for them. And so Jesus, he was weeping for his hometown. He was weeping for the people in the town as well. That's why I say Jesus. And see, I was a part of that. You know, I mean, we all are residents, whether we know it or not, of that holy city of Jerusalem. And so we were weeping for us because we had deteriorated down to the point that we had lost all logic and reason. We had turned, and we are turning his house into a den of thieves. And so sometimes when individuals fall short of God's glory, it causes his heart to grieve. It causes him to feel really bad about the situation. Now, we know that he has the power in his hands to prevent these things from happening. But Brother Brown mentioned about the war overseas. Now, could you imagine how the Lord is feeling when he sees this inhumanity to man, when he sees all of the, how they say, the war crimes and the different things that is going on, and man, it seems like you're just pushing forward with no agenda other than to kill, to pillage, to destroy. Now, could you imagine? He told us in his word that his thoughts is not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. And his thoughts are far above us as the heaven is from the earth. But we have documentation on at least three different occasions where Jesus was overcome with grief. We know that he cares for us. We know that he weeps with us. And individually, there are some things that I can't speak for you, but I know there are some things that I've done that may have caused the Lord to cry, to weep for me. So it's time now to take that personal inventory, to look back on my life and say, Lord, what was it, or have I done anything to offend you in any way? And if I did, Lord, forgive me. Now's a good time to take time out of your life or your busy schedule and ask the Lord, give him some sincere thanks for the good that he has done to us, the good that he has done for us, protecting us, looking out for us. And so we look forward to a well-spent day. Why? Because Jesus wept for me. Jesus wept for you. And we know that it's a big difference because, see, we know that there's an emotional, and we also know that there is a spiritual cry. But, see, and we know that it's a small difference. Hello?
Yes.
We know there's a small difference between weeping and crying. We know that weeping normally comes because of a great tragedy has occurred in our life. And we are so overcome that the tears begin to flow. We look at things how they are, and we just can't help it. So our souls pours out these tears. And as I say, Jesus wept for me. And it takes a lot with all the things that he has seen, all the things that he has witnessed, all of the calamities and the pestilence and the famines and the diseases and everything that he has come across. Jesus wept for me. Poor little insignificant me. So we know that now is the time. He brought us through so far of this pandemic, and I'd like to read to you from Isaiah. I think it's the 53rd chapter, the 3rd and the 4th verse. And I want to tell you what's going on with the Lord. It says that he is despised and rejected of men, and acquainted a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, he said that he is despised and rejected of men. Now, could you imagine how on many occasions when the Lord healed us, when the Lord set us on straight street, when the Lord spared a loved one's life, it says here that he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, I'm going to stop right there. See, a man of sorrows. This means that whenever you go through some things, the Lord grieves with you. The Lord feels your pain. The Lord's heart goes out to you. And why do we normally cry? Why do we normally weep? We normally weep because our heart has been broken into many, many pieces. It says, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. We hated him, and when you esteem someone, that means that you lift them up. You put them in a higher position than yourself. But we treated him badly, but he cried for us anyway. It says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, could you imagine when you have done the best that you can in life, and you don't, and he didn't come down here, he didn't, wasn't sent to get that recognition, he wasn't sent to be patted on the back. He had a job to do, and he knew that that job that he had to do would cause many people to despise him, to hate him, to not to want to be a part of him, to be acquainted. And see, when you are acquainted with something, it's not necessarily your friend, but you are extremely familiar with that. You know, a lot of us say, I don't have friends, I have acquaintances. But during that acquaintance period, you become familiar with the ways and the habits of that individual. So he was acquainted. So he knew grief pretty well because of the pain and the suffering of men, the pain and the suffering that they sent each other through. So Jesus wept for me. It takes a lot to make him cry. It takes a lot when you boil over. And if you think about it, the last couple of years, each and every last one that is probably listening to me up under the sound of my weak voice this evening because of coronavirus, because of Omicron, each and every last one of us have been what? Acquainted with grief. Each and every last one of us have had a loved one pass away or somebody that we cared a great deal about. And in the early days of the pandemic, we were not even able to go and say our proper respects to them. We had, and before Zoom became popular, and they were only letting 10 people in the funeral home because the coronavirus was so, it was so devastating to the people. Now, how many of us are carrying the pain and the hurt and the frustration around still with us because we didn't get a chance to say goodbye to our loved ones? We didn't get a chance to tell them, even though they had vacated that body, but we didn't get that opportunity to tell them that we love them, that please forgive me for the wrong that I've done to you if I've done something wrong. We didn't get that opportunity. That opportunity was taken away. So some of us are still, whether we know it or not, still grieving for the loss of that loved one. And so we're going to use a few examples. See, that Jesus that is within you weeps when the loss of a loved one or a loss of a soul that will not or cannot be saved according to the deeds that were done in that body. But we know that only the Father knows. But you can kind of like see tragedy coming, or when you tell your children, don't do this or don't do that. So we're going to go to Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32, where the prodigal son, where he left his father's house. He had got big enough to ask his dad. He said, give me the goods that fall to me. And see, sometimes, see, Jesus knows that we are not prepared to go out there into the world and function in the right capacity. So guess what happened? Jesus weeps for us. He cried for me because a lot of things that I got into in my life, I was not prepared for these things. But see, according to his permissive will, he allowed me to go out there because, see, he had, just like the father of the prodigal son, had that power to stop that son before he went out there. Say, well, if you go out here, you got to get past me. But Jesus is not going to block the door of you leaving. Now, he will tell you it's advisable that you stay here. But Jesus is not that type of an individual. He will not, under no circumstances, force you to do something against your will. Just like with Isaiah, when they needed somebody to go for them, what did Isaiah say? Send me, I'll go. I'll volunteer. See, we had to volunteer, just like Paul said, I, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. We have to be able to volunteer and go and do what it is that the Lord will have us to do, because he's not going to force us. He's going to tell us. He's going to warn us. He's going to admonish us. He's going to give us a heads up. He's going to do all of these things to prevent us, but in the end, the final decision is ours. I'm using that as an example because when our children and our loved ones leave our home and we know that they're going out there prepared, I can imagine that their father said, nah, that boy ain't ready. That boy's still wet behind the ears. Son, please don't go. And when you're pleading, just like when we were informed, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. But we do these things anyway. Could you imagine how it makes Jesus feel when we just go contrary, completely contrary to his word, and we go out there pursuing the lust of our own flesh? Or we know that our children go out there or our loved ones go out there and they get addicted to opioids, they get addicted to drugs, they get addicted to gambling. When we informed them way before they even went out there, there's trouble out there lurking for you. And it's coming in a direction for which you know not it comes. But Jesus, he wept for me. And then moving right along, when he came into the temple, as I say, he come back into the, when he come to Jerusalem and they were prostituting the Passover, when they was doing all of these things, when they were making profits off of, you know, this festivity that was about to take place. Can you just imagine that when somebody takes something that you have worked on or something you know should be a holy event, and they start doing things and profiteering and extorting your people? Now, that would bring tears to anybody's eyes. But see, as I say, it's only been documented three times in the Bible. where he actually shed tears. But see, he cares. He cares for you, and he cares for me. See, cast your cares upon him. Why? Because your burdens upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for us. But it's time for us to start caring about him. Anytime you bring someone to tears because of your activities, that's a terrible thing. Now, when he came and Lazarus, his friend, had died, and the Jews and the other people there, Mary and Martha, they were, when he came, they were already weeping. They were already crying. They were already in mourning. And then they told him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But see, once again, he had that power. But see, this war in Ukraine and all of these things, the prophecy of God said that there will be these things, that there will be death, there will be pestilence, there will be wars, and there will be rumors of war. So these are some must-be situations that we're going through right now. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to take inventory, for us to check ourselves, say, what am I doing or what have I done? Because whether you know it or not, it's been some tragic times in our life where the Lord cried for us, where the Lord wept for us, where he looked at the condition that we was in and he knew that we could do better. Now, any parent will tell you that the children might not necessarily see them shed a tear. But when they leave and do foolish things, you better believe that their parent prays and their parent cries for that child. Their parent goes to the Lord and says, Lord, he's acting foolishly right now. Could you protect him while he's at the meridian heights of his foolishness? Lord, he know not. You told your father to forgive them when they were persecuting you, when they were going against you, when they smited you. Forgive them. And I'm going to change it around. I'm not a little bit. I know you did not supposed to change the word, but I'm just putting this into my own words. Say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, my addition to that, if they knew what they were doing, they would not be doing it. Because we do some things that is contrary to him. We do some things that will cause him to grieve. So, my brothers and my sisters, we know that Jesus wept is one of the shortest verses in the Bible. And so they were saying that when Lazarus passed away, they were saying that he could have restored him. So could you imagine to see somebody that you love? But see, this was all a part of God's plan. Because there's some things that we have to see, some things that we have to witness to know that it can be done. So they rolled back the stone, and he directed Lazarus to come forth. But he could have said, come forth, but see, no telling what would happen then. But see, sometimes the Lord got to call you by name. Got to say, Brother Brown, James Brown, come forth. And do call me out of my death because I'm doing some self-destructive things. Brother Robinson, come forth. Sister Johnson, come forth. And all of these, I gave the last name, but the Lord would give the first name because there's a lot of Sister Johnson out there, a lot of
That's right.
Brother Browns out there. So he will personally give you instructions to come forth. But as I say, this had to be a hurting thing. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knew that his time was near and He asked the disciples, can you not pray for me? Pray for 1 hour. But because of the activities of the day, we don't know why they were so sleepy. But they could not stay woke for 1 hour. But that time he had to go it alone. And all the things, he was the only one that was worthy enough to redeem me, to redeem you.
Yes.
So the sins of the world was resting heavily upon his shoulders. And he almost cracked now when he was on the cross. He cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, which means, translated from the Greek, means my God, why have thou forsaken me? But then there was that flesh crying out. But then he said, caught himself right fast because of that body don't want to suffer. But he said, my Father, my will, but your will, Father. So he knew that he had to complete the death cycle in order for us to have that right to the tree of life. And how do we pay him back? By being ungrateful, by not going to the house of prayer, by not assembling ourselves, by not respecting our brothers and our sisters. Now, all I got to say is that that's enough to make anybody cry. So I'm going to end this early and say, Jesus wept for me. He wept for you. And, you know, we're going to make Brother Brown look pretty good because he said he's going to give people an opportunity to call in or to speak their mind or, you know, give out. You know, I appreciate the encouragement, but I'd much rather talk about the Lord because this is something that we will all grieve together. But Jesus wept for me. Amen. Brother Brown, I turn it back over to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Deacon Mother Cox, thank you so much I love how God uses you, not only you, but others that bring forth his word, how you give us clarity and how you take the time to break it down where we can get understanding of God's word. For the word of God says that out of all thy getting, get understanding. And we have so many men and women of God that are teaching and preaching this word, but they're doing it in such a way that the people don't get clarity and understanding of his word. So when we don't get clarity and understanding, we cannot apply God's word to our lives so it can be effective, that God will get the glory through it. So we thank God for you that you breaks it down for us. And I just appreciate how you really broke this down, how Jesus, out of all he did for us, how he still wept and how he still weeps for us even today. So right now, the phone lines are open for any listener that has dialed in on tonight. We have a lot of listeners that have dialed in. So if any of you have any questions for Deacon Margaret Cox pertaining to this word on tonight, this is your time to do so. If you want to give him words of encouragement, even though he said that that's not what he wants, but I understand that, but so I just want to give the opportunity for anyone. So the lines are open. Anyone have any questions for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to this word on tonight? Feel free to do so. Praise the Lord. Anyone?
Well, you don't have to direct a comment to me.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Yes, hello, hello. Yes, hello.
Yes, this is Miss Robinson. I
yes,
just
ma'am.
Want to say, starting out, as I stated before, Mr. Cox, you never disappoint. And I just want to reiterate from the word of God coming from 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it talks about how we don't necessarily see the things of this, the physical and the spiritual realm, wherein we look to the things that we see for comfort or for clarity. But God wants us also to look to the spiritual, the things that are unseen, which are eternal. He tells us that the things that are that we see on an everyday basis in the physical world, these are temporal things, things that last for a short while. But we should focus on the eternal, the spiritual eternal, so that we can live in the eternal spirit of God. Because when we look, when we leave this body, or this body is transitioned, we want a new body in a spiritual realm rather than in a physical realm. So we want to make sure we have the right address. We don't want to transition and go to the wrong place and look at the street sign and it spells H-E-L-L. We want we want to go to the spiritual realm that says H-E-A-V-E-N.
In the heavenly.
We want to go to the right
Lord.
One. So, you never disappoint. I enjoyed everything. And thank you so much for that wonderful spiritual God-led message.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Robertson. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Hello. Anyone else would like to give Deacon Mervin a Cox words of encouragement, or do you have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message?
Or a statement, just like a scripture that you'd like to share with us. You know,
amen.
Now,
praise the Lord. The lines are open.
We're not going to, you know, restrict anybody, you know, what to say, whatever is on your heart. Not thank you, Sister Robertson, because that was something that I needed, because a lot of times, you know, we was in the right church, but we was in the wrong pew.
Amen.
And these are the things that will cause us to miss out. Go ahead, Brother Brown.
I just want to say to you, you really, I liked it when you added this into what we're experiencing in the world today with the war over in Ukraine. The Word of God did tell us that we will see wars and rumors of wars, but that's not the end. So this is showing us that God's word is being fulfilled. Even though this war is going on over in Ukraine, God is still in control. He knows what's going on. He knows how to turn the heart of President Putin, just like he did the hearts of the kings back in the biblical days. He have not changed. He has no respect to a person. So we just thank you for that clarification and how you really broke it down to where we can really understand God's word on tonight. So, again, is there anyone else that would like to give or have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight?
Brother Cox, this is Sister Walker, and that was a wonderful message. I love your poems. Now, the other week you did the poem called A Good Heart.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, have you published that poem?
No, but if you want it, I could send, you know, I can email it to you if you like it.
Would you email it to me as well?
Well, yes, would you email it to Brother Brown, and I can get it from him?
Okay, we had no problem with that. Okay. Brother Brown.
That was a beautiful, beautiful poem.
Okay,
What's the name of the poem?
It's A Good Heart.
A good heart. He did that the other week. And
All of this, you know, Sister Gwen, I'm glad you said that, because we've been trying to encourage Dick and Marvin, because he has thousands of poems. You all have no idea.
Oh, you haven't published. You haven't published none of your poems.
Well,
I'm trying to put them in the books.
I'm like Paul Freely. He freely do give to them. Make sure, you know, that you get a hold of that. My greatest pleasure is what you just said, that you enjoyed it, and
I loved it. It was beautiful.
Okay. Well, Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. I'll make sure you get that, Sister Gwen. I'll make sure you get that poem. Anyone else?
Thank
your lines are still open. Anyone else would like to give Deacon Marvin Cox words of encouragement, or if you have a question pertaining to tonight's message, you still have time. Well, I just wanted to say once again to Deacon Marvin Cox, you're doing a great work for the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Stay on the wall because you're doing a great work and you cannot afford to come down now. God is doing a great work for you, and there's even greater works that he's going to do through you because you are a faithful servant, a faithful ambassador of the Most High God. So we just want to continue to encourage you to continue to be the man that God has ordained for you to be in the earth because you are truly a blessing in the body of Christ all over the land. And that's why I love this worldwide platform. This is not just for those that dialed in locally or from out of state, but this worldwide ministry is being heard all over the world and also is now being heard through prisons all in the United States, all over the United States. Prisoners are now being able to hear the word of God over this worldwide platform and other ministries that I share with them. So I give God the glory, honor, and praise. It's not my doing. It's all of the Lord's doing. And as the word of God said, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So we continue to ask everyone to stay focused, stay encouraged, continue to encourage one another in God's word. The word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we know God has no respecter of persons. We thank God that his work, he is doing a great work through his people, and he is still watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his faithful doers, not just those that are hearing his word, but those that are doing his word, those that are teaching and preaching his word, and those that are being examples of living his word every day, not just on Sunday or on the night that you go to Bible class, but every day of your life, everywhere you go, somebody is able to see Jesus Christ in you and in me. And that's what it's all about, that God is being glorified. We don't want Jesus to weep because we're not being faithful. We're not being obedient to what he has called us to do, that he get the glory through each one of our lives, individually and then as a corporate body of believers. So before we close out tonight's show, anyone else want to have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight? Anyone else?
I just want to say and ask for prayer for my son Isaiah Robinson. He's he's really been going through some trials with his health, and I would appreciate it if you all would keep him in your prayers.
Okay, but okay. Ma'am, do you mind if I ask you this question pertaining to your son? Do you know if he's saved in Jesus' name or not?
Say that again.
It's your son. Do you know if he's saved in Jesus' name?
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Very much.
Okay, amen. That's what we want to know. Okay, so we know exactly what to pray for and how to pray for your son. Before we go into prayer for tonight, before we close out, we are going to lift Brother Isaiah Robinson up in prayer. At this time, we're going to do that right now before we close out for tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus. I'm asking all listeners on tonight that have dialed in to touch and agree with me in prayer as we lift up Sister Robinson's son, Brother Isaiah, in prayer as a prayer request. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, touching and agreeing and realizing and knowing that you are God all by yourself. We know that you are our healer. We lift up Sister Robinson's son, Brother Isaiah, our brother in Christ. We lift him up to you right now in the name of Jesus. You know what's going on in his body, mind, and spirit, so we know that you're still able to work miracles, signs, and wonders. You're still healing and delivering and setting your people free. So touch his body, Lord, whatever is going on with him, that he will be healed, he'll be delivered and set free, and that he will not be afraid to be a witness and let the world know that it was you who have healed him, that you would get the glory out of all of it. Continue to strengthen his mother. Continue to bless her life, that she will continue to be the one woman of God that you have called and ordained for her to be for such a time as this, that she will be the vessel that you're using, that somebody will be able to see Jesus Christ in her, not only her, but her son as well. Not only them, but all those that are being doers of your word, continue to bless her, Lord. You know what we are going through, and we thank you that you let us know that we can cast all of our cares upon you, because you do care for us, and we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you that he sacrificed his own life on the cross and shed his own blood, his sinless and righteous and holy and precious blood on the cross. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but he paid it because he knew that we could not pay it, so that we would have a chance to be saved in Jesus' name. We would have a chance to be delivered and set free and have a chance to be reconnected back to you as our Heavenly Father and our Creator. And so when this life on earth is ended, we will have a place in eternity in heaven where you are, Heavenly Father, where your Son Jesus Christ is now sitting at your right hand, that we will have a place in glory where he has gone away to prepare for us, that we will be with you for all eternity. And we just thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even towards every one of us that we know we don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to lift up our sisters and brothers over in Ukraine, continue to lift up the president of Ukraine, continue to encourage their hearts, even as they go through this unnecessary war, Heavenly Father, they are experiencing right now, those that have lost loved ones because of this war, this unprovoked war. And we know that you are able. We are, no matter what it looks like, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in total control, and you sit high and you look low, and there's nothing that's hidden from you. So you know all things. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brown.
You're so
thank
welcome,
you
Ms.
So
Robinson. We're going to continue to lift up your son, Brother Isaiah. We're going to continue to lift him up in prayer. I thank every listener that has asked questions for Deacon Margaret Cox on tonight. We thank every one of you all that are praying for him. We thank you for continuing to pray for this worldwide ministry and platform for my family. And we, as I always say, we want to continue to encourage one another in God's word, not with our feelings, not with our opinions, but according to God's word, that he alone will get the glory through each one of us as individuals and as a corporate body of believers in Jesus' name. So right now I'm going to close out with the song Worth Living on tonight. I ask that you will continue to be blessed of the Lord. Tune in this coming Saturday night. I have a special guest that's going to be bringing forth God's word, a first-timer. She will be bringing God's word on this coming Saturday night. So you're going to tune in and be blessed by this awesome woman of God on this coming Saturday night. Until then, continue to know that I love you. But guess what? God loves you even more. Until then, be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Thank you.